This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In January this year, Sri Lanka's strongman Mahinda Rajapakse lost a presidential election to a member of his own party. He was expected to regain the political initiative in a recent parliamentary election, but his failure to do just that means the island state is now at a crossroads. Razin Sali is Associate Professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy at the National University of Singapore. BFM asked him what the recent electoral results signal.
This is the biggest opportunity for renewal in Sri Lanka, probably since 1977, when a previously very left-wing government was overturned and the country opened up the economy. There are, as I see it, three or four big opportunities for the country. All of them were opened up by the January the 8th presidential election, which overthrew Mahinda Rajapaksa. So one is for Sri Lanka to move decisively in the direction of political liberalism and away from authoritarian big man politics. That's already in train. The second is ethnic reconciliation, which has started, but which still has a long way to go. The third is to rebalance foreign policy, because under the Rajapaksa administration, all the eggs seem to be in the Chinese basket. It's important to be on good terms with China, but Sri Lanka needs to have very good relations with the West and with India. That's also in train. The final element is really economic reform, market reforms, because Sri Lanka went in the reverse direction under the Rajapaksas. So now Ranil Wickremesinghe, with this election victory, has a mandate for pretty serious economic reforms, to liberalize the economy domestically, to open up more to trade and foreign investment, to plug into global supply chains, all these things. The potential is there, but the policies are not there. So the policies have now got to be put in place. That's the really big opportunity on the economic front.
Mahinda Rajapakse and his brothers dominated Sri Lanka's political scene for over a decade. So who is he?
His core constituency is the Sinhala Buddhist heartland. It's not the big metropolitan areas, least of all Colombo. It's small town and rural Sinhalese Sri Lanka, also wound up with Buddhism as a religion that has an association with the Sri Lankan state that goes back to its founding almost 2,500 years ago. He played the Sinhala Buddhist nationalist card with chauvinist and racist overtones before, but even more so in this last election campaign. Now, his vote is actually lower in this election than it was in the presidential election, even among Sinhala Buddhists. But that's still a sizable constituency, and it could rear its ugly head in the future. Personally, I wouldn't write off Mahinda Rajapaksa. I wouldn't write his political obituary just yet. He could come back as a kind of magnet around which opposition forces could unite in the next couple of years or so. And the issues around which they could unite could be the following. One, that the government might be seen by Sinhala Buddhists to give in too much to the demands of minorities, particularly Tamils in the north and the east. Two, that relations with India could become too close and that Sri Lanka could risk becoming some kind of vassal state of India. And three, a backlash against economic reform. The main obstacle is that Sri Lanka has a very big public sector. Per head of population, it's one of the highest in the world. It's about 1.5 million employees in a working population of about 7 to 8 million. It's very easy to mobilize opposition against big-ticket economic reforms in the public sector in particular. So these are all obstacles for the future.
Ranil Wickremesinghe was prime minister for two terms. This will be his third. Who is he?
Well, the last time he was prime minister was during the ceasefire years. So this is going back 10 to 15 years. There was a ceasefire with the Tamil Tigers and an attempt to negotiate a peace agreement. And at the same time, he tried to pursue an economic reform agenda. As it turned out, both failed. The ceasefire broke up and the country returned to war. And there was a backlash against his economic reform agenda. all of that culminated in him losing first a parliamentary election and then a presidential election, and then followed almost a decade of Rajapaksa power.
We asked Razin what challenges this segment of Sri Lankan society poses to the policy agenda of the new government.
It means that the Prime Minister in particular probably can't go as fast as he would like. Ranil Wickremesinghe is the nearest thing to a pro-market, pro-globalization politician in Sri Lanka.
Maithripala Sirisena took the spotlight with his unexpected victory over his own party president. After his victory, he announced a 100-day reform program to, among others, rebalance power between the Office of the President and Parliament and to tackle corruption.
The president comes from a different background. He still needs wider exposure in terms of economic policy and also relations with the outside world. But he's showed himself to be reasonably open-minded so far. But he does come from a very different political background, much more on the left or center-left, and much more locally focused.
We asked Razin if he's hopeful for substantial change.
Well, the business community is very hopeful. They do see a new opening. Sri Lanka's friends internationally are, I think, very pleased. I'm thinking of the West and of India in particular. China, of course, has lost a friend with Mahinda Rajapaksa in power previously. But Sri Lanka is very dependent on China. So the government will try to maintain, even enhance, relations, particularly economic relations with China. Am I hopeful? Well, I'm more hopeful than I have been in a long time. I didn't expect Mahinda Rajapaksa to lose power in January. I thought he would have lasted much longer. So within a year, Sri Lanka has had a sort of revolution, a peaceful democratic one, which I didn't expect, and there is this new opening. On the other hand, Sri Lanka has missed golden opportunities before. It's missed the bus, so to speak, several times since independence. It's incumbent on those in charge and their supporters to try to make sure that doesn't happen again, and this time that Sri Lanka really does capitalize on this once-in-a-generation opportunity.
That was Razin Sally, Associate Professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy at the National University of Singapore. He is also the author of a forthcoming book on Sri Lanka, tentatively titled Back to Serendip. I'm Sharad Kutan for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.